CRTV's afternoon edition with me, Patience Wingo. First, the top stories. Cameroon's parliament advances bills to regulate fisheries and boost police cooperation across Africa. Vatican envoy Monsignor Richard Gallagher hails Catholic Church's contribution to Cameroon during meeting with Prime Minister Joseph Diangoute. First Lady Chantal Biya reaffirms commitment to fighting HIV and AIDS as the African Synergy Against AIDS and Suffering celebrate 22 years of impact. And in sports, FC Ebolova and Lekiethi vie for Women's Super League glory this afternoon at the Nwaekele Stadium. Those are the top stories. But first, the news bulletin.
Good afternoon. The news bulletin with Joyce Cleef Tata. Two additional bills have been presented for consideration by members of the National Assembly. One bill aims to establish rules and regulations governing fisheries and aquaculture in Cameroon, while the other seeks to authorize the President of the Republic to ratify an agreement on criminal police cooperation between Central and East African states. Meanwhile, the Foreign Affairs Committee of the National Assembly, led by Honorable Banu Emmanuel, is currently conducting a thorough review of four other bills related to international cooperation, which were submitted earlier this week by the executive. The First Lady of Cameroon has reaffirmed her commitment to supporting and advocating for those living with HIV and AIDS as the Pan-African organization African Synergy Against AIDS and Suffering celebrates its 22nd anniversary. In a statement issued on the occasion, Mrs. Chantal Biya has expressed her gratitude to her fellow African First Ladies, with whom she co-founded African Synergy on November 16, 2002. She also thanked the experts, partners, and stakeholders whose invaluable support has enabled the organization to make significant progress in the fight against HIV and AIDS. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, has released its 2024 Regional Economic Outlook for Sub-Saharan Africa today in Yaoundé. The report highlights that Cameroon, like other countries in the sub-region, must address macroeconomic imbalances to prevent vulnerabilities that could hinder growth. The report also discusses necessary reforms, noting that while growth rates for most sub-Saharan African countries are expected to slow down in 2025, Cameroon's current growth rate, which stands around 4%, is projected to remain stable. This stability is attributed to controlled inflation and the commissioning of the Natchigal hydroelectric power plants. 10 innovative startups focus on digital solutions for agriculture, livestock, fishing, and climate adaptation have been named winners of the 2024 Agritech Innovation Challenge. Each winner will receive approximately 40 million CFA francs to scale their transformative projects. The award ceremony in Yaoundé was attended by key government officials, including the Ministers of Post and Telecommunications, Employment and Vocational Training, and Livestock, Fisheries and Animal Industries. It aims to modernize agriculture, increase productivity, and tackle the pressing challenges of climate change. In news out of Cameroon, dozens of volunteers have entered an abandoned gold mine in South Africa to help thousands of illegal miners who have been underground for over a month now. The miners entered the shaft in Schiltenfen deliberately, desperate to retrieve gold or mineral residues. The miners have refused to cooperate with the authorities as some are undocumented migrants and fear being deported or arrested. And in sport, Guinness Women's Super League champions FC Ebolova and Cup of Cameroon winners Lekki-Efi will at 5 p.m. battle for the first ever Women's Super Cup title. The highly anticipated match that will take place at Ndongwaikele Stadium in Yaoundé will be the third meeting between the two clubs this season. In the pre-match press briefing Thursday, the coaches of the clubs underlined that they are well prepared to give in their best and grab the trophy at the end. That was the news bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT this afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
Thanks for joining us. Two key bills have been presented to Parliament for review. One aimed at establishing regulations for fisheries and aquaculture in Cameroon, and another granting the President of the Republic authority to ratify the Criminal Police Cooperation Agreement between Central and East African States. The bills were introduced during a plenary session presided over by Deputy Speaker Honorable Mary Moyali Meboka. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Doris Batetatoekwe reports.
The bill to authorize the President of the Republic to ratify the agreement on criminal police cooperation between Central and East African states aims to identify avenues for police cooperation between the two sub-regions. It also seeks to lay down guidelines for operational mechanisms between the police services of the contracting parties and also provide a framework for joint training of police officers from Central and East Africa. It therefore will specify the procedure for police-to-police handover of suspected criminals, evidence and missions abroad, a common approach to combating transnational organized crime, terrorism and violent extremism is envisaged in the draft legal instrument to be defended by the Minister of Territorial Administration. Meanwhile, the bill to lay down the rules and regulations governing fisheries and aquaculture in Cameroon repeals the provisions relating to the fishery sector contained in a law which dates back to three decades. It's intended to address the shortcomings that exposed Cameroon to sanctions imposed by the European Union and the United Arab Emirates, which have banned the importation of fishery products from Cameroon into their territories on grounds of illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. The bill also responds to the global context marked by the desire to preserve biodiversity, protect the rights of local populations to use ecosystems responsibly and sustainably. The bill will be defended by the Minister of Livestock, Fisheries and Animal Industries.
Doris Batetatoekwe reporting there. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with State and International Organizations, Monsignor Paul Richard Gallagher, has praised the efforts of the Roman Catholic Church in Cameroon. During a courtesy visit to Prime Minister Joseph Diongute in Yaoundé this afternoon, Monsignor Gallagher highlighted the positive impact of the Church's work in the country. The envoy also underscored the significance of the 10-year framework agreement between Cameroon and the Holy See, describing it as a vital document for strengthening ties between the two parties. Star Building correspondent Christian Chiatam reports.
The Vatican Secretary in charge of relations with states and international organizations, Monsignor Paul Richard Gallagher, who is on a 5-day working visit to Cameroon, came to the Star Building to show courtesy to the Prime Minister head of government, as tradition demands. His half-hour discussion with Joseph Diongute touched on relations between the government and the church in Cameroon. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations acknowledged the work the church has been doing in the country. Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations.
Encouraging to hear how much good work the Church is doing here in Cameroon and making it a very valuable contribution and assisting in whatever way it can to strengthening and reconciling and to developing the country. So the good work which was started many years ago by missionaries here is now being carried on by the men and women of the Catholic Church. I'll be able to inform our Holy Father Pope Francis of the good work being done here by Catholics and by the men and women of the Church.
At a time when the framework agreement between Cameroon and the Holy See, signed in 2014, clocks 10 years, the visiting Vatican Secretary underscored the relevance of the document.
We are happy. The framework agreement is having its 10th birthday. That's good. We believe that the application of the agreement could improve, and I think this will require engagement and commitment on both sides. I think it's, as I was saying to the Prime Minister, it's already indicative that it was worth negotiating, it was worth signing, and it's already bearing fruit and giving encouragement to both sides, a clearer understanding of our mutual responsibilities.
The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations and the Prime Minister Head of Government, Joseph Dangote, agreed on the necessity to continue working to maintain relations between Cameroon and the Holy See cordial and fruitful. Christian Chiatam, CRTV, The Star Building.
In the meantime, the Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations has praised the excellent relationship between Cameroon and the Holy See. Monsignor Paul Richard Gallagher made the remarks in Yaoundé today after meeting with Cameroon's Minister of External Relations, Bella Mbella. The two officials also discussed cooperation in key areas such as education, health and peace promotion. Charles Sebune has details.
11 a.m. in Yaoundé, Cameroon today, midday at the Vatican. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with Other States and International Organizations enters the headquarters of the Cameroonian diplomatic establishment. The so-called Vatican Foreign Affairs Minister, Archbishop Paul Gallagher, is accompanied to the meeting by the Apostolic Nuncio to Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea, José Avelino Betancourt.
It's a great joy to be here in Cameroon and to meet the Minister for Foreign Affairs. We talked really in very much general terms of relations between the Holy See and Cameroon.
The encounter between the Minister of External Relations, Mbella Mbella, and the Pope's envoy holds in the office of the Minister in the company of senior officials of the Ministry of External Relations, including the Minister Delegate to the Minister of External Relations in charge of cooperation with the Commonwealth, Felix Mbayu, and Cameroon's Ambassador to the Holy See, Antoine Zanga.
We recalled the fact that we signed 10 years ago an agreement and a accord cadre, and we rejoice in that, and we think that this is a basis of an ongoing and very important relationship. And renewed our commitment and our conviction that indeed the Holy See and Cameroon can work together.
Cameroon has had three papal visits from two popes, and this year marks the 10th anniversary of the framework agreement between Cameroon and the Holy See signed in Yaoundé. The Vatican chief diplomat arrived Cameroon last night via the Yaoundé-Simalène International Airport and was welcomed by the Secretary General of the Ministry of External Relations, Omaru Shimun.
Charles Ebune reporting there. Sub-Saharan African countries, particularly those in the Central African sub-region, face significant challenges. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, urges these nations to accelerate structural reforms for sustainable growth by enhancing the mobilization of internal resources and effectively managing public debt to improve their macroeconomic framework. The IMF's 2024 report outlines key recommendations to help these countries achieve more sustainable growth. Belinda Shaw highlights Cameroon's macroeconomic performance as detailed in the IMF's Regional Economic Outlook for Sub-Saharan Africa. Her report.
The 2024 report, published by the IMF on the Regional Economic Outlook of Sub-Saharan Africa, comes at a time when development experts express fear about a future Cold War in the field of trade, with a likelihood that these will have repercussions on most growing economies, which are already suffering from setbacks of a global slowdown marked by disease, conflict, and climate change. Cameroon's picture, as painted by the IMF report, projects a relatively better growth rate coming from the diversified nature of its economy. However, the country's macroeconomic outlook, like that of other sub-Saharan African countries, is clouded too by elevated uncertainty, social unrest, increasing risk of natural disasters, coupled with volatility in global financial markets and commodity prices. Based on reforms amid IMF's expectation to help fix a rather bleak macroeconomic future, the country will have to unlock more durable and inclusive growth by making the economy work more efficiently for all. This will simultaneously reduce both macroeconomic vulnerabilities and social frustration, as well as ease the task of policymakers. This transformation will require a multi-pronged approach based on two complementary pathways that include creating jobs with focus on gender equality and further diversifying the economy, with priorities including improving the business environment to spur private sector-led growth and investing in people.
And in the meantime, mayors and economists agree that a bill on local taxation is necessary, and they are also calling on the state to ensure the effectiveness of the powers given to regional and municipal councils. Alban Jembonde sampled their views and now reports.
As the government hopes to broaden the tax base and provide room for greater financial resources for councils, the mayor of the Womb municipality also expects a tax reform that takes into account other administrative bottlenecks.
If you look at the local taxation law, it dates back as over 15 years ago, which was obsolete. The challenges we have had in the field are quite enormous. In the past, taxes like advertisement tax, global tax, which have been collected by taxation. In fact, the councils are left on their own. For example, somebody comes to do a billboard in town. He has to pay the money to taxation. Meanwhile, you are the mayor who is there on the spot to see what can be realized.
Mr. Christopher Kang, mayor of the Bangem Council, on his part, urges government not to abandon its mission of equity by redistributing financial resources to councils in rural areas with less possibilities of generating revenue.
The idea of broadening the tax base is always good, but never lose sight of the fact that some councils have very big potential for revenue collection while others don't. So the idea of collecting and redistributing evenly to different councils, in my opinion, is a very good idea.
Given the poor performances of councils in revenue collection, despite the advent of decentralization, Professor Aloysius Njomom, Dean of the Faculty of Economics and Management Sciences of the University of Bamenda, explains that reforms were inevitable.
The 2025 bill seeks to increase the special tax to collect and treat waste in council areas. There will also be a synthetic tax for small and medium-sized enterprises. And then regions will be allocated taxes collected at the national level that will be shared out to all the regions, special duties on vehicle registration, taxes on petroleum products. This will be collected and then distributed to the divisional tax centers will be transformed into local tax centers to optimize local tax collection.
The mayors, like the economist, do salute the bill on local taxation, which they say would give a new impetus to the well-being of the regional and local authorities.
Albert Njebonde in the report there. The African Synergy Against AIDS and Suffering is proudly marking 22 years of dedicated efforts in the fight against HIV and AIDS in Cameroon and beyond. On the occasion, Mrs. Chantal Biya, the First Lady of Cameroon and founding president of the Pan-African Organization, has reaffirmed her unwavering commitment to advocating the global fight against AIDS and alleviating suffering across the continent. Ayimbile.
With the determination to, as she puts it, act in the face of ravages caused by AIDS on the continent, Madame Chantal Biya revisits in her message delivered today 22 years of humanitarian action at the service of noble causes and the most disadvantaged by the Pan-African organization African Synergy. 22 years on, the flame lit on that day in November 2002, the First Lady continues, is still as bright as ever. The challenges to be overcome just as numerous and the need to Act together more topical than ever. A compelling need which had led Mrs. Chantal Biyan unable to bear and watch the suffering of her people to establish on November 16, 2002, and alongside with her sisters, First Ladies of Africa, African Synergy Against AIDS and Suffering, a platform for advocacy and action for the health and well-being of the African people, which over the years has been instrumental in obtaining significant progress in the fight against HIV and AIDS, decisive action to promote and protect women's rights, combat violence and all forms of discrimination against women, educate young girls, promote maternal health as well as child health, and much more. Tremendous strides made, and for which the First Lady, founding president of African Synergy, remains proud of, considering, she says, the chain of active solidarity created and which she attributes to her sisters, First Ladies of Africa. Heartfelt gratitude also expressed to all the experts, partners and stakeholders, and first and foremost to the head of state of Cameroon, His Excellency Paul Biya. Though in the face of emerging and re-emerging diseases, drug use that is reaching alarming proportions, a high HIV prevalence among children, young people and women, the First Lady, committed and unrelentless in the fight against AIDS, says, quote, on the anniversary of African Synergy, my thoughts are with all the victims of these scourges. We owe it to them to continue the fight.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
It is 22 minutes past 3 p.m. and this is CRTV's Afternoon Edition. 10 innovative startups specializing in digital solutions for agriculture, livestock fishing, and climate adaptation have been named winners of the 2024 AgriTech Innovation Challenge. This was during an award ceremony in Yaoundé attended by key government officials, including the Ministers of Post and Telecommunications, Employment and Vocational Training, as well as Livestock Fisheries and Animal Industry. Their presence highlighted the government's strong commitment to driving digital transformation within the agro-pastoral sector. During the event, the Minister of Post and Telecommunications, Minette Libom Lilikeng, congratulated the winners and emphasized the crucial role digital technologies play in boosting the nation's economy. Now let's hear from Minister Minette Libom Lilikeng in this excerpt of an interview proposed by Kelly Eben.
It is a program of accelerating the digital transformation of Cameroon. And we need to build the things we are going to accelerate. And you think that we have infrastructure, but we need those young people capable of creating true innovation, those elements which are going really to transform, to boost, to accelerate our digital transformation in key sectors as agropastoral and livestock and other. You can imagine how proud and happy I am, because after speeches, digital economy can boost, and very soon, before the beginning of a new year, we are going to testify that if you introduce ICT in what you are doing, you can really boost your activity.
The regional director of the United Nations Population Fund for East and Central Africa has praised the efforts made by the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education in Cameroon to empower youth and promote entrepreneurship. Dr. Senan Hunton made these remarks today during a meeting with the Minister of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, Mununa Futso, in Yaoundé. In the following excerpt of an interview, Dr. Hunton emphasizes that the great leaders of tomorrow are being shaped by the youth of today. He spoke to Helen Nyoedani. Take a listen.
I'm here, first of all, to thank the government of Cameroon for the quality of the cooperation with the United Nations Population Fund regarding the Ministry of Youth and Civil Education, but also to celebrate the advancement and the different projects that we have with the government of Cameroon, whether it is with the entrepreneurship of youth, whether it is with economic empowerment of women, whether it is with the implication of youth in peace and security, so that we can capitalize on the capacity of young people. I'm leaving this ministry completely satisfied with the discussion that we've had and the perspective that can have to position young people all development projects in Cameroon.
As roadside grills continue to gain popularity, they are transforming the local dining scene with affordable and flavorful or flavorful offerings such as grilled fish, chicken, and pork. In this report, Aponsiate explores how these vendors strike the perfect balance between quality, price, and customer satisfaction, making them a popular choice for urban diners.
In recent years, roadside grills and barbecues serving fish, chicken, pork, and other popular options have become a staple of urban and suburban dining scenes. One of the main appeals of roadside grills is affordability compared to classic restaurants.
When you get to a restaurant and you place a command, they are going to take 2 hours before it is being served. Meanwhile, at the roadside, the chicken is already there waiting for you.
Vendors typically source their meat locally, providing a range of cuts and options for various budgets.
The quantity of soya you may get for 1,000 francs and the consumption with satisfaction alongside may not be the same way if you were to do it yourself.
However, with affordability comes the question of quality.
I bought the roasted fish on the way into the house and I noticed that maybe I don't know how many days it has
made. Despite this, the majority seem willing to overlook occasional lapses driven by this attractiveness of rich, smoky flavors and the convenience of quick service.
As a bachelor, what time would I use to do those things myself? When I go to the road, you hear people calling me because they know me.
Whether it is a perfectly seasoned fish or the mouth-watering grilled pork, these pots are fast becoming a cornerstone of affordable, tasteful dining.
It's another exciting weekend, and if you are wondering where the hottest events are happening, you are in the right place. Our reporter F4C Babatunde has all the insider details on the must-see happenings you won't want to miss.
From 8 p.m. this Saturday, stand a chance to watch veteran Makusa icon Grace Deka on stage. She will be alongside other Cameroonian artists like Katino. Join her at the official launch of the People's Club at Kaufu Kinge in Kribi. Cameroon Music Festival, SimFest, continues this weekend in Boya with a red carpet scheduled for this Saturday from 6 p.m. at Mountain Hotel. Nigerian gospel artist Frank Edwards will be gracing the stage at the Festival of Blessings that continues at the Community Stadium in Douala. He will be on the stage this Friday and Saturday. Take a rendezvous as it promises to be a spirit-filled moment of worship.
No, 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 no. Kwasi. Yeah, yeah. Kwasi. Pato ranking. Oh, everything for my account.
Groove Kwasi's Afrobeat rhythms and savour a moment with Cameroon rap star Boy Tag as they throw a concert this Saturday at Kaufu Ancien Mer Buna Musadi. Happy weekend.
And on our sports page, in less than 2 hours, FC Ebulova and Lake Yefie will face off for the inaugural Women's Super League trophy. The match, taking place at the Nguaikele Stadium, will see the Super League champions FC Ebulova go up against the Cup of Cameroon winners, Lake Yefie. Harris National reports that it promises to be a tough contest for both teams.
This evening's Women's Super Cup match pits the best women's football clubs in the country against each other. FC Ebulova, who are the champions, are unbeaten in the championship. Their only defeat was in the Cup of Cameroon. Meanwhile, their opponent, Lake Yefie, who are Cup of Cameroon holders, lost only one match and it was against FC Ebulova. Sport journalists Ivan Williams, Jobati and Biwa Bryan are confident that the two teams will give each other a tough time.
This is like a remake of the Guinness Super League where FC Bolova got a good one on a Lekki football field. FC Bolova beat Lekki Girls home and then away they separated on a 1-1 draw.
They add that the two clubs are motivated to outplay each other to lift the first ever Women's Super Cup trophy.
Lekki football field, after the experience at the UNIFAC Champions League Women's Tournament where they were defeated by TP Mazembe, they want to come back into this first ever Super Cup stronger.
On the other side, FC Bolova was just coming from celebrating their first ever national title. They finished the championship undefeated. I think that FC Bolova has an edge over Lekki Girls, especially if we want to consider how it played out between these two during the league.
Fans of the two contenders are already mobilizing at Nwankele Stadium to cheer their team to victory in this match that will determine the champions of champions this season in women's football. The highly awaited showdown will kick off at 5 p.m.
Now this.
The Minister of Finance informs taxpayers under the non-profit organization's NPO's tax scheme that, in accordance with the OHADA Uniform Act on the Accounting System for Non-Profit Entities, the Directorate General of Taxes, in partnership with the national bodies responsible for accounting and taxation, has implemented new models of statistical and tax returns, SCR, specific to non-profit organizations. These new reforms are now available on the online platform of the Tax Administration at the following address, www.imports.cm. To facilitate compliance with tax deadlines, the Minister of Finance invites all NPOs to submit their tax returns for the 2023 fiscal year no later than December 31st, 2024 via the said platform. Furthermore, the Minister informs the public that the Tax Administration is actively continuing training sessions dedicated to the use of these new SCR models. He strongly encourages NPOs to contact their respective tax offices for any assistance or additional information regarding the implementation of these new provisions. The Minister of Finance reaffirms his commitment to supporting taxpayers in fulfilling their tax obligations and relies on everyone's civic responsibility to ensure compliance.
And CRTV's afternoon edition was a presentation of Patience Wingo. Joining me in the studio for a news summary in French is Danielle Sopor. Good afternoon.
Bon après-midi à tous. Le Parlement camerounais est en session ordinaire pour le compte du mois de novembre. Pas moins de 11 textes déjà sur la table des élus de la nation. À l'Assemblée nationale, les membres de la Commission des affaires étrangères examinent au fond un ensemble de projets de loi, à l'instar de celui autorisant le président de la République à ratifier le traité de Bédine sur les interprétations et exécutions audiovisuelles et de celui autorisant le président de la République à ratifier la convention portant création de l'Organisation internationale pour les aides à la navigation maritime. Devant les commissaires, le ministre des Arts et de la Culture, Bidoum Pat, et le ministre des Transports, Jean-Ernest Massena Ngale Bibéhé. Le secrétaire en charge des relations avec les États de la secrétaire du Vatican a été reçu en audience ce vendredi au ministère des Relations extérieures. Monseigneur Paulo Richard Gallagher et le ministre Mbelambela se sont entretenus sur des sujets relatifs à l'accord cadre de coopération signé il y a 10 ans entre le Saint-Siège et l'État du Cameroun. Ces 15 et 16 novembre 2024, l'organisation non gouvernementale panafricaine Synergie africaine contre le sida et les souffrances souffle sur ses 22 bougies d'anniversaire. À cette occasion, la première dame camerounaise Chantal Biya, présidente fondatrice des Synergies africaines, a publié un message de circonstance. L'épouse du chef de l'État y réitère son engagement pour son combat humanitaire, pour la cause des plus démunis, la lutte contre le sida et d'autres fléaux qui menacent le bien-être des populations vulnérables. AgriTech Innovation Challenge, le grand concours national des solutions digitales innovantes dans le secteur agropastoral, à ses finalistes. Il s'agit de 20 startups dont les 10 meilleurs vont bénéficier de l'accompagnement pour la maturation et la rentabilité de ces projets. La finale de l'AgriTech Innovation Challenge s'est déroulée à Yaoundé. Les ministres des Postes et Télécommunications, de l'Emploi et de la Formation professionnelle et de l'Élevage étaient présents à la cérémonie. Le ministre de la Jeunesse et de l'Éducation civique, Mounouna Fotsou, a reçu en audience cette fin de matinée le directeur général, le directeur régional Afrique centrale et de l'Ouest du Fonds des Nations Unies pour les Populations, Dr Sénène Ountan, est venu témoigner au MINJEC la reconnaissance de son institution à l'endroit du Cameroun qui ne cesse de les accompagner dans la matérialisation de leur mission. En sport, football, la première édition du trophée des champions se dispute cet après-midi à 17h au stade militaire de Yaoundé. Champion en titre, Ebolova FC joue contre l'Ekié Football Fille, vainqueur de la Coupe du Cameroun. Les deux formations partent avec à la quête d'un autre trophée. Mesdames, Messieurs, alors qu'il est 15h passé de 36 minutes, c'est la fin du Triple M. Merci de l'avoir écouté.